Well, we appreciate the Lord's goodness and mercy to us. I know He has the help that we need. I'd like to look in the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. These scriptures have stood out to me recently and been studying them. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll start at verse 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preached Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." These scriptures say a lot. But I was thinking about, he mentioned verse 17, he said, to preach the gospel not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He talks about wisdom of words. He mentions the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. And I want to just look at a few scriptures. The wisdom of this world, you know, when I think of wisdom, I think of something good. But there's definitely a variance, a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. I kind of like to look at those just a little bit. He mentions here, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And that scripture, I believe is in Isaiah 29th chapter. I'd like to look at that. And starting at verse 13, he says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. In verse 15 it says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Now the Septuagint reading on this is very similar, the verses that I just read. He mentions here in the Septuagint, it says, and I will remove them, and I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will hide the understanding of the prudent. Woe to them that deepen their counsel, and not by the Lord. Woe to them that take secret counsel, and whose works are in darkness. And they say, who has seen us, and who shall know us, or what we do? Shall ye not be counted as clay of the potter? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? I believe the King James says, why hast thou made me thus? But this, the Septuagint says, shall this thing formed say to him that formed it, thou didst not form me? Thou didst not form me. And then also says, or the work to the maker, thou hast not made me wisely. Anyway, in making these connections here, the wisdom of this world, it can have the appearance, the wisdom of the world can have, in many respects, can have the appearance of success, of power, of prestige. The wisdom of this world can have that appearance at times, and it can look perhaps somewhat attractive. But here it associates the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that is from beneath, it associates it with the darkness, with people hiding their counsel against God. You know, I think of the evolutionary idea, the evolution that we came, that we just evolved, is saying to the potter that you haven't made us. There's a man by the name of Richard Dawkins. I don't know if you've heard this name. He was a British evolutionary biologist and author. He's involved with Oxford University, professor for public understanding of science. He popularized the gene-centered view of evolution. A very educated man. Dawkins is well known for his criticism of creationism and intelligent design, as well as for being a vocal atheist. It seems like he was one that's kind of in the forefront with his colleagues and different things. He wrote a book called The God Delusion. I remember seeing a little video clip where he was expressing and telling people that you don't have to worry about morality. There's no God. There's no God to answer to. There's no God to give an account to. And that's exactly what these scriptures here in Isaiah, long before Dawkins came on the scene, he says here, woe to them that take secret counsel and whose works are in darkness, and they say, who has seen us? Who shall know us, or what we do? Shall ye not be counted as clay of the potter? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, thou didst not form me? It seems like if they can cut the link of believing in God, that they're breaking the responsibility. I don't know, it's very evident that they don't understand spiritual laws and the way things God has set up. There's another verse in Isaiah, the 47th chapter, that it gave reference to. Now, this was the removal of Jerusalem. This is what Jerusalem was saying. God doesn't see. God doesn't know. They were hiding their works in darkness. Isaiah, the 47th chapter, he's talking to Babylon. he says in verse 4, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou that showest them no mercy upon the ancient, hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke." And the Septuagint on this verse, it's talking about the aged men. They were very difficult and hard upon the aged that was in captivity. And verse 7 says, "And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." Like it was, there was not going to be any consequence to what our oppression to the Jewish people. There was not going to be, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Like there was no consequence involved. Verse 8, "Therefore hear now this, thou art that are given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me." See, Babylon was a world power. It was the law of the land. There was nobody that was able to stand before the Babylonian armies, but God gave them their power. God allowed them to have that place and that position. That was God that allowed them to do what they did. But here they're saying, "I am and none else beside me." There was an attitude, an exalted attitude, an exalted opinion. We're above everybody else. Nobody's going to be able to touch us. "I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me." This is the same thing that the people of Jerusalem were saying. And actually, that's what God sees that they were saying in their heart, that there's not going to be a reckoning. There's not going to be any consequences. And they felt like they were above the law. Does that sound familiar today? They felt like they were above justice, above the law, above, they could do whatever they wanted to. "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside thee." Verse 12, "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be that thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee." I was just thinking about how that they had the same mentality, the same idea, the same lifted up opinion of themselves. You know, God is very patient. He's very long-suffering. He wants man to return from wrong, from evil. But there is a justice, there is a judgment that comes that God will recompense evil. And I think about this scripture said in one day, "But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of thy children and widowhood." You know that when they were having that big party in Babylon, Belshazzar saw the handwriting upon the wall. The Medo-Persian people, Darius, Cyrus, I'm not sure which one was first, but they were on the move. While they were at their drunken party, at their drunken festival, they were entering in to the city. And I don't think there has ever, in my knowledge of history, there has ever been a kingdom that has fallen in one day. One day. They came in, all their high ups, all their high ranking officials were at this party, and they came in on them. They were completely unaware, completely caught off guard. And it says in one day, in a moment, in one day, that they would be taken. And that's the way it was. That one night they lost, the Babylonian lost their power. Darius and them took over the kingdom. But I think about the wisdom of this earth. There's a scripture in Romans, the first chapter, in the 22nd verse. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, let's read verse 20 with it. Verse 19. Because of that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations. In their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, I was thinking about the preaching of the cross. He said, you know, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I think about the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God, and how God, it said the Greeks, it looked foolish to them. The Greeks who sought after wisdom didn't find the wisdom of God. They had a worldly wisdom. They had a wisdom that maybe benefited them some ways in society, but I doubt very much. Because the wisdom of this world is associated with darkness. It's associated with sin, the wisdom of this world. And the Greeks didn't see it. The Greeks, it says, because he mentions, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You know, it looked all foolish to the Greeks that a man would die on a cross, that there would be any significance of his death, of his crucifixion. And to the Jews, a stumbling block. The Jews were looking for a deliverer, a national political leader to deliver them. That's what they had in their mind. And Jesus didn't come that way at all. He had something better in mind. He wasn't interested in an earthly throne. He wasn't interested in just a earthly kingdom. He wanted a spiritual kingdom. He wanted to establish His law in people's hearts and lives. But they weren't able to get, many of them wasn't able to get a hold of it because it was a stumbling block. But I think about the gospel, and I think about, you know, the preaching of the cross. I believe that means Christ's sacrificial death for us, but also means our cross too. You know, it looks foolish to the wisdom of the world to deny yourself, to die to self. Those things look foolish to the world. But He said, to us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is where, when we give up ourself. Now I think about, you know, the world is, in general, people reach out for happiness. They reach out for contentment, happiness. And yet, They don't find it in the world. They don't find it in those things. But when we give up ourselves, we give up to serve God and to live for Him, we give up our way, we acknowledge, and that's what the Scriptures teach us, that all have sinned. All that's the message of the Bible. All have sinned and come short of God, the glory of God. All have the sentence of death. All will be lost eternally. But the world doesn't, that message doesn't resonate with people. They don't like to hear that they're a sinner. They don't like to hear that they're undone, that something's wrong. Humanity likes to feel like they're pretty good, pretty good people, pretty good person. But when we come to recognize that we have sinned and failed God, and I think about the verse where I want to go to Colossians, the second chapter. In the first verse, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." He said, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I want to finish my thought just a little bit. When we give up ourselves, we give up our way, our path, to seek God's way and seek God's path. Jesus said, if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And I believe the Lord this morning, when we give up ourselves to God, when we surrender our hearts and lives to Him, and we allow Him to have complete control in our life, I believe He gives us so much more than what we would have ever gotten or attained in our own strength and our own ability. He's asking us to give up, but He gives us so much. He said, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." God has the fullness. He has all that we need in Him. He has a fulfilling portion for us in Him. If we're able to give up ourselves and give up unto God and consecrate and yield to Him, it's not like He just takes it and discards it and it's just, okay, you're going to suffer now. But He's able to give us, He's able to replace it. You know, in my life, I would be on the heap pile today if I would have went my own and did my own thing. If I wouldn't have come to the place of repentance, I would hate to think where I would be today. I would be despicable, I'm sure. On the heap pile of garbage is where I would be. But when we give God our life, He's able to bless and help and be with us, and He's able to help us. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be trouble. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be difficulties or hardship, but He's going to be with us through them and He'll help us. He says here in Colossians, he said in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, there's a lot of forces at work in our world today. There's a lot of schisms. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of, and you know, that was going on before the Jews were destroyed. There was factions in the Jewish, they couldn't get along. They were fighting each other. They said the Jews had enough food stored up, they could have lasted for years. In that siege, in that destruction, they had enough food to last them for years. But they were fighting each other. They were destroying each other from within. They destroyed their own food supplies. They were fighting one another. It's the same thing that's happening in our world, in our country, our society today. But he said, there's just a lot of influences in our world today. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I call that the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of the world that's not after Christ. That's after the flesh. Brother Galen mentioned the flesh, being married to the flesh. The tradition of men and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the elements of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye all are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know, we've been removed. We've been separated from the world. We don't live after the world. We don't follow the spirit of the world. We don't follow the direction the world is taking in their lives. We don't follow sin. We have nothing to be ashamed of this morning. We have nothing. We've had that circumcision in our life. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. The world would like to look down upon us and kind of belittle and call us uneducated, simple-minded. There was a comment under that Dawkins that I read to you that was, I don't see it now, but he was a critic of Christianity. And when you touched on that, the critics of Christianity, it's like they look at religion as a hindrance to society. Can you imagine that? It blows your mind. And that's the way people are starting to look at. Now, I have to agree, you know, false Christianity has done a lot of damage. And that's probably maybe what it's leveled at. But to have the mindset and the mentality that thoughts of God, thoughts of the Scripture is outdated. That's one thing they mentioned. It's outdated. That it wasn't. It's actually a hindrance to society and people of moving on. Where are they moving on to? Where are they headed? They're going back into darkness. They're going into darkness. Professing themselves to be wise. Oh, he had all kinds of Oxford degrees and big degrees, all things that he had to his title. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And Jesus, one place, he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. There, when we read in Corinthians, he said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I believe they're called, but when people don't humble their hearts before God, the Lord can't do no more with them. I mean, that's just, he gives every man a choice. If we don't humble ourselves before God and ask His forgiveness and ask His help and live for Him, then God's limited what we can do. And I think about these verses in Proverbs, the first chapter. They've always struck a chord in my heart. Proverbs, the first chapter, and the seventh verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To fear and reverence God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And all you read everywhere in the Proverbs, it says, in verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. You know, there's a verse that came to my mind this morning. It says, beware ye mockers, lest your bands be made strong. You know, it's one thing just kind of to disagree with somebody or with truth. It's one thing to disagree with truth, but it's another level when people begin to mock and scorn at truth. To me, there's a difference. There's a different level there. And he says, "Beware, ye mockers, lest your bands be made strong." The bands of darkness, the bands that bind a person's heart and mind in darkness, that keep them from being able to see light, from being able to see truth. He says, "Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." In verse 30, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." You know, there's people sometimes can look like they're doing okay, so to speak, following the wisdom of this world. They can look successful, they can look great, they can looks like maybe they're doing okay. They look like they're prospering. But there's coming a time of reaping. There's coming a time they can say all they want to that God hasn't created us, that we came from evolution. That doesn't stop this verse, the consequences of our actions from being fulfilled. It'll be fulfilled. God has got spiritual laws in place. We reap what we sow. We sow evil, we sow scorning, we sow mockery, we flaunt, you know, people flaunt in God's face. There comes a time, God forbears with it for a long time. Many times He'll forbear with attitudes and spirits like that, but there does come a time when the reaping starts. And what a bitter harvest, what a bitter reaping that comes. Anyway, I just the gospel is a simple, and Paul mentions that in different places, that I didn't come with excellency of speech, wisdom of words. He just gave the simple gospel message, and that's the power of God to those that believe, to save lives, to change hearts, to be a blessing to people. There's power in the gospel to do that. There's no other power like it in the world to change a life from sin and wrong into that. That's the power of only the power of God that can do that. And I thank the Lord today for the scriptures. I thank Him for His goodness, for His help, for His word. And we just want to keep that place of humility before God and make sure we give God the glory and the honor that's due unto His name. I appreciate His goodness and mercy, and I'm thankful today that we can have the wisdom of God. There's such a contrast between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom. Sometimes I noticed different times in my life I've looked at the wisdom of this world, and sometimes it looked like they were prospering. Well, that's what He mentioned in Psalms, wasn't it? 74. He said, "My feet slipped when I saw the prosperity of the ungodly." It looked like things were going their way. So Lord, help us to keep our faith in the Scriptures, our faith in Christ, our faith in the Word of God. And I believe the Scriptures are divinely inspired. I don't believe man. It was through the Holy Spirit that the Scriptures have come to us. God has had His hand in inspiring and giving people the Scriptures. And I thank the Lord. Where would we be where would we be without the Scripture? Brother Galen talked about, what about people that hadn't had the influence and the knowledge? And what kind of darkness would we be if we didn't have the Holy Scriptures to study and to follow after? It'd be the same. We'd be in darkness. We would be in a bad shape. But I thank the Lord today for the Scriptures. I believe Jesus gave us, and I believe salvation is in Him. I believe it's the only way. That's another thing that the critics of religion say is when, I'll put it in my own words, I'm not sure how to express it, they did, but it's like when they say there's only one way. That's one they feel like is Christianity's downfall. There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I didn't say that. No man come to the Father except, no man come to the Son except the Father which sent him draw him. Jesus is our only avenue to make heaven. I'm going to say what they're condemning us on. Jesus is the only way. The Scriptures bear that out. He said, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they're the ones that testify of me. And you've not come unto me that you might have life." Jesus is the way. I'm thankful today to know Him. I'm thankful that He has called me out of this world. He's called us out of this world. And we don't have anything to be ashamed of this morning. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation." Appreciate your attention this morning.